here we are. We have GB into this party group onto our campaign. He's a new. We have some new players in D&D for today. We have GB over here onto the campaign of, and oh, Dungeons and Dragons. There's a lot of first-time beginners in playing, and all, every single one of us, we all have something in common. We all love anime. We all love the manga. We all love everything about it and the fandoms and everything. And we all have an anime podcast. We all are related. Oh, we're also mangakas. We're also everything anime, manga related. We all involved. We all love this stuff. We are so glad you guys are joining us in the meeting. So glad that we're all doing this collab of Dungeons and Dragons. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Great to bring in first new players in. GB, thank you for joining us. LSF, thank you for guys coming up. You guys, let us know. Can we hear you guys real quick?
GB, you first.
What am I supposed to be saying? I'm GB from the Worst Generation podcast.
Yep.
And I am LSF, creator of Shade of Red. You can get your mask soon. But yeah, happy to be joining my first D&D session. I've been excited. Sometimes I can't sleep over it.
Cool.
Just a side note, I don't mean to interrupt your intro, Sam, but now people, multiple faces are showing up on the Twitch stream.
Yes, so it's yeah, I know. I realized camera that. On. I realized that when I showed up my camera. Like, oh, hey, I see myself. Let's do this.
We have the camera on.
I got you.
You ain't going to show up on the stream. So, you know, do what you will with that information. Ray, I know you said you wasn't going to put on no clothes, so... You know,
I ain't no no clothes tonight.
So definitely.
So we'll get to Ray.
Ray is definitely laying down in his bed, like whipped cream all over him.
Why? No, it's too cold for all that.
Hey man, you wouldn't be cold if you had your socks on, man.
Shut up, Steve.
For those who don't know, the man. Good friend of ours, the guys always join our chats and stuff. The guy who loves to wear socks and when he goes to bed, Scuba Steve.
What's going on? How y'all doing?
We good.
Are you cold right now? Like you came
no,
in.
I was hyped. I was rubbing my hands. I was hyped. That was my hype shit.
Show your socks.
Show your socks. Putting on his socks.
Show your socks quickly. Let them know, family. The sock guy.
That means more flexible than I am.
Socks is on, sure, man. Sure.
It's to work, man.
All right. I'm turning my camera back off so we won't have so many people cluttered on the thing. Are we keeping
the see? Off? We all see you guys. Like we see our faces on here in Twitch and stream.
Oh, okay. Well, should I leave my shit on?
And then we all know him. He's the certified, verified king of games, the Mr. Verified on Twitter, Ray Apollo.
Hey.
Turn your cam on, bro.
Nope.
This man said. That's when you know you're a blue check mark. I ain't put my camera on.
I'm not gonna pay for that.
I'll pay you 10 British pence.
I mean, that's almost like a whole dollar here, but nope.
And then we have King Teliano.
Yo, what's up? You're certified ambassador of anime here in Florida. I'm excited to play some D&D. I haven't played in a while, so I'm ready to do this.
Awesome.
Side note, you're the most professional sounding out of all of us.
Oh, well, yeah, I just got a new mic.
I'm going to fight you. That's your M7.
Sounds
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Technically, we're supposed to have our the booty juice drinker boy. Legend Vash, but he's gonna be late. He will be a little bit delayed, even though he tells us to start before he comes in, which might be hard because he's also a new player as well. But you know, we're gonna wing it. We are gonna do what we can into this Dungeon and Dragon story.
I just want to share with you guys. I'm also kind of new to the whole D&D thing. Like I played for about a year. I've mostly played as a player. This will be officially like my second campaign.
It's actually mine too.
Yeah, this is when I say second campaign, I mean this is my second campaign as a DM. It's probably like number eight as you know, just being involved. But as a result, you know, I've become a little bit of a dice goblin. And so I'm going to show off my dice a little bit because, you know, I feel proud. You know, I like, there's a website that has some fun dice. I even got,
I got candy dice,
you know. I got, and then my favorite set of dice are called the Blood Curse dice. And then I also got these obsidian dice, which are pretty cool. So I'm just going to dump it all in here, you know.
So, yeah, some of us will use, we'll be rolling our dices onto like a bot program. And people who already have dice can roll their dice too. And if we need more evidence and proof, we'll have a camera on our dice rolls. And just so you know that we're not cheating, we have to we know our own stats. We just need to look from there and compare.
So what that means for me as a DM is, like, if you hear a lot of dice rolling, just mind your business. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, you don't need to go behind the store of a parking of a nation store.
Like, especially don't worry if one of the guys are saying, like, hey, they're about to do something, then you start hearing me roll dice. Like, don't get a heart attack or anything. Just mind your business.
Exactly.
You know, I'm just out here in the background just doing stuff, just rolling sometimes for no reason.
Nothing shady, officer, we promise.
No, you know, it's not like I'm rolling to see if they die from their actions or anything like that. But that being said, so yeah, we're going to play D&D. We're going to do monthly streams the first Saturday of every month after January. First of all, I would like to say, for those who don't know me, clearly on Zoom, it says my real name. I messed up there. But regardless, you know, you may know me as Prince on Twitter. I am one of the co-hosts for Inside the Mind of a Blurred, the podcast owned by my peer and CEO, Scuba Steve. I also have my own podcast, the Osa and A podcast. You can definitely check us out on Spotify. So I just want to give a special shout out to Anime Lately for helping us set this up, especially Sam and Vash, who's not here. So I don't know what I'll do to his character in the meantime. He might just die. Who knows?
Honestly, we were a little. We tried to get through on time. We were all, some of us were last minute on our stories and stuff. But at least we got it through. We got it through.
Yeah. So and then I would also want to give a special shout out to Worst Jam Podcast. You know, GB is representing for them. Shout out to them for coming through. Of course, you know, Mike Check Waifu. Shout out to Tell for hopping it. You know, he was like, oh, y'all running? Y'all not gonna let a nigga know? Like,
this he definitely doing? He did us up on the side, like, well, not even on the side, the public forum. Like,
I couldn't wait to join this. Like,
around me,
I couldn't believe like people would start a D&D session and didn't have me involved. I couldn't believe it.
He was like, hold on, y'all need to reconsider. And then the Bash was like, hey, we got no, yeah, you know, I'm down if you down. And I'm like, shoot. The more the merrier. Why not?
So we're gonna try to stream at least once a month for everybody in here. I don't know how long the campaign will last, but hopefully, like, we all have. But the important thing is we're all having fun. You guys enjoying our chats and banters, or like all the stuff that's fun within D&D. We'll most likely laugh at each other. More likely. Pull jokes and everything, which is fine. That's the whole entire point for collaboration. We all are here to have fun, enjoy ourselves, have a good adventure going on. A lot of feeling. Depending how well we do, I don't know if we're gonna be able to reach like critical roles level, but we'll do our best. We'll do the best we can. As anime podcasts. Yeah, I mean, anime podcasters, lovers, and soon to be D&D players, get more invited to campaigns and stuff for sure.
So as a result, hey, I just want to say shout out to the people who pulled up to the stream. Like, yo, y'all some real MVPs right there. I see some of y'all showing out for your respective pods. I see you Lito showing up for Worst Gen. That's dope. Shout out to Lil Baby Princess over there. I see you. I'm disappointed in Steve. Where's our homies and Cam and Bo and them? Like, where Alpha at, you know? Like, we're gonna have to square up at some point. We're gonna have to square up.
No.
to that being said,
but one member of Team Shade of Red showed up. I'm pretty disappointed.
Oh yeah. Oh, you know what? That was my fault. I'm gonna say the best for last. Also, shout out to LSF for coming through. You know, y'all definitely need to check out his manga called Shades of Red. So far, 3 chapters out, correct? And you're working on number 4 right now?
Yeah, in production.
In production. So shout out all the way from the UK. You know what time it is for this man? It's like 6 a.m. over there.
As I was telling you guys earlier, it's like crackhead hours.
Hey, I mean, like, what's the best day to wake up is in a D&D game, not a coffee. Best part of waking up is D&D.
No, but I just want to say thank you for having me on, because obviously this is my first D&D session. Obviously, I was excited. I wanted to join. I've been looking at D&D sessions online, and I'm thinking, wow, I really want to get involved, and this was just the opportunity. So thank you again.
Hey, yeah. It's all love.
Oh, for sure.
So as we get started, finally, I know everybody's been waiting for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to let everybody know that this is going to be a rather interactive and engaging, as well as a very narrative and description-based campaign. And so I'm going to have first of all, I'm going to introduce myself as, you know, I just like to say I'm God. As a DM, I'm the Lord and Savior. Depending on how you guys make me feel will determine whether you live or die. I tend to think of myself as a benevolent deity, but I am also a petty deity. That being said, hey, Sam, you want to take it away and just describe your character? You know, let the people know what they look like so they can get an image in their head.
Let me see if I can have my logo character to... My character is a half-orc barbarian. His name is Asgaja. If you guys know orc, then you would know the translation of what that is. If not, don't worry. I was planning to, within this campaign story, to explain what that name means, my backstory, how much... my past, my childhood, how my character would go on, but we'll most likely have to figure, we'll find out throughout the entire campaign if that's going to be ever happening. Definitely not a smart guy. I kind of had to make it that for sure, but I am the brolic guy. Hopefully I can get the role-playing voice of an orc for this character, and that help enhance the fun in D&D for sure.
Hello?
Am I done? Sorry.
Abe is on mute. I don't think he knows.
Why you expect us to know what orc
my bad. Translate to, bro?
I don't know. Maybe the viewers will. I don't know.
Abe talking, I was all like, wait a minute, this nigga on mute.
I purposely have myself on mute, but I just kind of assumed that someone would just go and introduce
their character. I'll go next then.
I bet.
I'm playing Kith Grav. He is a Goliath fighter. He's a big boy, a big beefy boy. He's strong. He's smarter than Sam's character, by a lot. Okay. And he takes issue with those who abandon those that work together. And he doesn't take kindly to those that want to accomplish something but aren't willing to work with the team. So yeah, you'll get to know Kith real soon. He's a onyx skinned, golden eyed, white haired giant of a Goliath.
All right, I'm gonna join in. I play a dragonborn character named Latest Sirius, and I'm very vengeful. I'm a rogue character. So I will be performing a lot of sleight of hand and hiding, in a sense, basically still. My character basically is just going to be a little vengeful. And let's just say that. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'll go next. I play Zorobar, a dragonborn again, red, kind of tall. And I'm a fighter, so... Yeah, I'm someone who wants to settle down, but discover himself first through an adventure, because dragons are meant to tour the world. It's what they do, innit? It's what they do. So yeah, that's me.
All right, I am going to be playing my character Jata. He is a bard. He comes from a tribe of hunters and was actually lost from his family and ended up becoming enthralled with music and speech. Thus, he becomes a support character essentially, and much more with his antics and, you know, trying to get people on his side when it comes to how we talk and how we discuss situations. So yeah, that's gonna be my character, the talkative bard when it comes to that time.
I guess that leaves me last but not least. I will be playing Silas, the demi-human, demi-elf. Let's see. He grew up with his human mother, doesn't share much about his elf past. You guys will learn that as he comes to trust the group and we continue in the story. But he grew up with his human mother. He struggles to see life through her perspective. And the whole point of this quest is him trying to forcefully insert himself into situations that will help him understand his mother's perspective, which is her care and her love and her understanding for all races, which he just can't comprehend. So you'll see him in situations where he's very untrusting and reluctant, but he's trying to force himself to do things and see what will come from those situations.
Bet that. So I guess everybody introduced their character. So get things.
Eventually we'll have Vashir, maybe. We don't know. We'll see.
If I decide to have his character live, we'll see.
Can Vash's character just die off back?
Let me roll the dice and see what they say.
And Game of Thrones him. Right off the back.
Free Vash.
He was our magic cast. He was our second caster, though.
No, we can't have him dead. No, seriously, like, we actually can't have him dead.
Well, I just rolled a critical fail, so.
Oh no.
I think this is gonna be wearing airbrush. Rest in peace, Vash shirts.
I ain't putting on no clothes.
Look.
Anyway. Well, you got no clothes. You're gonna have to tie it on you then, Ray.
No, he got the do-rag, and that's all he wearing. That's all he need, the do-rag and the club.
No socks.
let's get started, man. I'm ready for this journey. I've been waiting for 2 weeks for this, man.
Bet. So, for our audience, thank you again for tuning in. Let me set the tone for you guys. Each of the characters presented here were sent a letter. Whether they responded to the letter, we'll find out. Whether they decided to ignore the letter, we'll find out. But so far, each of them are in their respective locations, but there is something brewing in a coastal town called Lotnia. And I'm going to share my screen real quick so people can see what this town looks like. But I'm pretty sure everybody can see the map now. The city of Lotnia.
Yep.
At the bottom, you can see the port. And you see that big building in the further back, middle, but northern middle?
Town hall.
That building is very special. Yeah, that's the town hall that I described to the characters in that lore that I gave you guys a few weeks ago. Of course, technically, I didn't have a map in mind when I typed that stuff out, so we're just going to pretend like this map existed at the time. But in that town hall resides a wonderful, wonderful woman. Name unknown, origins unknown, who just strolled into town one day. And mind you, this town was, everybody was just depressed. Everybody was down. They was feeling some type of way. Life has been rough. You know, kind of COVID-19 rough, if you get my drift. You know, a lot of people depressed, a lot of people just staying in, not really working. Stimulus checks were not coming in. And so while they're chilling, you know, this woman just pulls up. No one knows how she got there. Did she appear on a boat? Who knows? She just strolled into town one day, built up town hall with some magic, looked at everybody, smiled, and said, hey, oh, this is when I do voice impersonations. Okay. It looks like I'll be taking over this town. This town shall be mine now, and I'll get all this dreariness out of the way at some point. But don't fret, my poor little children. Everything will be just okay. For there'll be people here coming to save you or to kill you. At the end of the day, it matters not to me what happens. As long as I recreate this town in my image. So that was my attempt at a feminine voice. I have no idea how that came out. So I ask that all judgments be reserved and kept to yourselves, or else your favorite character will end up dying.
Yo.
I heard that Vash didn't like it.
That man already got a crit fail on the first roll, so we can't let that go.
He's literally on his death rolls already. So
yeah, he's on his death rolls. So that being said, letters were sent out to our respective players, and we're going to find out how they reacted to their letters. It's up to you guys whether you want to read it or just want to tell us what each of you have decided to respond to. So we'll start with Sam, or as Gaja, we'll start with him.
So the letter, it says, "You seek the one who raised you, no? The same ones that broke you and your kin. I can make your desire come to pass, my little half-orc. All you need to do is say yes." So with Asgaja, well, Asgaja's decision wasn't necessarily sure, but he does happen to be in Latia because he knows certain information that he needs to know. But yeah, that's as far that we have so far for him. He's just following up on a clue that he finds out for himself, his own agenda and his motives, which is to kill his father.
All right. The horns of war rage. Your battle for independence bears a heavy burden on your soul. The evil of the North is displayed pompously among the victims of the Western clans, my bad. It seems you need assistance, my dear Goliath. Do you wish to save the West, or would you rather take revenge on the North? Seek me in the town of Latnya, and the answer to your pain. All you must do is say yes. And he does say yes without hesitation. But for revenge or for to be a savior, you don't know.
I shall not, mother. My letter is to be secretive. That's my personality as well. So I guess I'll see you guys there.
Hey, that's fine with me.
Okay.
I mean, hey, everybody should be in character by now anyway. So, hey, how you're going to react. That's how you're going to react.
I'm just read the letter as me as a person, but I'm not me myself in the character just yet.
You seek adventure. You seek knowledge. You seek wisdom, but more so, you seek acceptance, no? My dear Dragonborn, seek me out if you wish to obtain these details. A darkness is coming that makes the Elder Hallow War seem like a mere tantrum of a child. Seek me out for power and for answers. You will help bring peace and your father's desires. All you need to do is say yes. I smell the letter. It smells interesting. A trip to Latnia is...
You've heard the faint whispers, no? The tales of a tribe once known, led by the ones who've wronged you. But like whispers, they fade along the wind. My lovely bard, do you wish to know more? Do you wish to gain revenge on the ones who took everything from you? Seek me out in Latnia. And for sure, Jata will be there.
Extinction is coming. Seek me out if you desire answers.
You gonna pull up?
I haven't decided yet.
Ooh. All right. We still got a decision to be made. So while GB is making a decision, our other characters, first of all, I do need to share with everyone that there is an event that happened in the past called the Elder Hollow Hyberian War. It is when the humans and the dragonborns fought the orcs. Now, mind you, we have two dragonborns in this party, and we also have a half-orc, which will make things interesting. In this world, we do have elves and the like. Humans are the majority, although this war kind of cut down on their civilization just a little bit, maybe a lot of bit. But if you hear references to the Elder Hollow War, just know that's what we're talking about. So most of you are on a ship. Those who responded are on a ship. And hey, I love the activity. And while you guys are on the ship, I'm going to need you guys to roll to make constitution saving throws right now.
Already? God damn!
I don't even know what that means. But I don't even know what that means.
What that means.
Are we in trouble?
It means we be rolling something that needs to save our lives.
What?
So, I got 18. I don't even know if that's good.
That's very good.
Oh, good. Oh, thank
God. Woo, we got our first crit.
Steve, how'd you get 5?
Oh, for a second there, I thought that was me. I swear, I thought that was me. I got a 16.
Oh, I rolled a 20 already. Oh yeah, boy, them numbers is hot.
Ray is using his verified fit to get him extra points.
I told you, +2 to clout. I'm good.
I demand a reroll.
You don't have inspiration. All we need is GB. We need Silas. Oh no, Silas can't roll because Silas hasn't made his decision yet. So perfect. So audience members. Technology for sure beating Steve's ass. audience members, Zariba, he rolled an 18. What that means is he's good. He's chilling on this boat. Kith, natural 20. Our first nat 20 of the campaign goes to Kith. So he big chilling. Like it. For Kip right now, he been on boats before. Whether that's true or not, he acts like he been there. You feel me? So he's good to go. Jata, my lovely bard, you rolled a 7. You are now seasick, okay? You are now seasick. You throwing up a little bit. Lattice, oof. You rolled a 5. You are just as seasick, if not worse, than Jata. So both of y'all probably throwing up off on the side of the ship right now. None of you have really interacted with each other yet, but for you guys, there's not many people on the ship. So for Zariba and Zariba Kith, you guys. Oh, and as Gaja. You rolled a 16, you're safe. You're not seasick either. So the three of you, while you're on the ship, just chilling, cooling, y'all notice two individuals just throwing up on the side of the boat. One of them happens to be an angelic looking creature. For those of you who would like to know what it is, I need you to make a history check. Exactly, make a history check. For the three people who are not sick, if you would like to know what one of the people you're looking at is. And so while that's going on, y'all see, damn, oof, okay.
It's Gaja, no nothing.
It's Gaja rolled a 4. He don't know what the hell he looking at. He just see a creature. Kif rolled a 10. He kind of recognizes. He has an idea of what it could be. It could be one of three things. It could either be a tiefling, an Asimar, or just a demon spawn. And then Zariba, he knows exactly what he's looking at. He can tell what that is. He knows. And while you guys are staring on to this throwing up creature, you also see another creature just throwing up too off the side of the boat. Zareba knows who, everybody knows what this is. They just see a dragonborn just vomiting right now. He's embarrassing. He's struggling. Yeah.
Embarrassing. You're meant to be a dragonborn. Get a hold of yourself. How is he vomiting already?
Hey, for the audience, anything that is said from now on is said in character, and we're just going to get right into the role playing. So, Zareba, if you don't mind reenacting that again for our audience members.
Embarrassing. Vomiting already. You're meant to be a dragonborn.
Hey, buddy. Look.
What?
Hear me out. This must be your first time on water, too. Yeah, I'm not very fond of traveling. I'd rather be in the air. Oh, man. It must have been too much ale.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. So, we kind of get a little rough introduction from one of the Dragonborns to the two characters throwing up, although the other Dragonborn just kind of kept throwing up, while the creature that only Zareba can identify as an Asimar is decided to give some sass back. Clearly drinking and being on a boat is not the greatest combination. Okay, so that being said, the ship sails on a little bit. I would like everyone again to make another constitution saving throw.
Fuck.
However, Jata and Lattice, you guys roll it at disadvantage.
Oh, man.
So, Jata, you're feeling better now. Jata's feeling better on this ship. Esgaja, almost another nat 20. That's crazy. You're still feeling fine. You know, and this
ain't got nothing on Esgaja.
Oh, I'm gonna die. All right, there we go. There we go. Zareba, you was talking hot mess, and you low-key throwing up now.
Oh, what have I done to myself? In fact, I might just go throw up myself.
Mm. Kith, you still chilling, dog. You chilling. You good. You good. And then Lattice, you feel better. You feel better. So.
Passed it on to my brother.
Perfect, perfect. So as you guys disembark off the ship, all of you kind of at the same time, but not really interacting much with each other, there's a short gnomish creature that is awaiting you all. And he has the biggest smile on his face. He just looks like a tiny hairball. There's just a massive, massive white beard. You can barely see his eyes. Low-key, you're wondering where his facial hair starts and where the head of his hair ends. And he just got his hands on his hips, his stubby hands on his small hips with his short, short legs. And he's just, you know, looking at all five of you. And he sneers at the Dragonborn who's looking sickly. There's a hint of hostility in that sneer, you know, as his eyes settle on him. It's the one that you guys can all feel. As for the other Dragonborn, that sense of hostility is still on you, except now there's no longer a sneer. His eyes widen at you, Jata, as it's been a long, long time since someone has seen a creature like you before. And while he's there, he says, "Oi, I see you all made it, huh? Y'all look good. Although that thing over there, that lizard thing, kind of looks sickly, huh?"
Well, I always look good, just so you know. But My buddy here, he's fine. He might have a little bit too much tail between him and the sea, but he is definitely going to be okay in a few minutes. I think I'm not entirely sure on his stomach there. My stomach's a little bit better. You didn't see me do anything, right?
I saw nothing. You know, I just got here, mate. You know, I need you to understand that I don't know anything about anything at the moment. I'm just waiting for you guys. I have orders to bring y'all back.
What's with the glaring looks? Have you never seen a dragon be sick before?
I've seen plenty of you lizard people, and let's just say
lizard.
What time?
We're gonna need to drop the lizard, please.
Are you not a lizard?
We are dragons.
Where are your wings then, mate?
I don't like the way this guy's talking. Can I intimidate?
Oh, roll intimidation.
Yes, please.
While he's trying to intimidate him, Kith is just going to kind of kneel down a bit and still be way too big and go, listen here, little one. I don't know who you are, but I'm here because I was asked to be here. Where are we going?
So he turns his eyes to you. He looks up. He got to crane his neck. I mean, look, there's a massive, massive difference, even with you kneeling down, of at least 7 feet. You feel me? So to him, he can barely really see your face. He just sees a big, big, very muscular body that's just all up in his grill. So he's going to take a step back. And he looks back at the lizard and kind of just sneers again, because you did not intimidate him. he's just there. He sees what you're trying to do, Zariba, and he's just like, yeah, whatever. But
in that case, I just kind of pout and growl at the same time, just like,
oh, you pouting? Oh, poor baby. Anyway, this creature, this gnome, is looking up at Kith and just kind of takes a step back to see if he can probably see his face, because he's just looking at, well, to be honest, just looking at his eyes, and that kind of makes him uncomfortable. His eyes are just focused on his thighs, and kind of looks up further, sees what looks to be a very well-defined six-pack. Very, very, very beautiful, you know, if I do say so myself for the audience. And he kind of takes another step back, and he's like, huh, all right, well, just shrugs, because he's gonna have to go back a couple yards to even see his face. And he just grunts and says, well, I'm here to take you to the missus. She told me that you all received letters, except he looks around and kind of takes 6 steps to the left so he can look around the big Goliath that's in front of him. and he's just like, but there seems to be one missing. Do you guys know anything about that?
I don't know any of them. I'm just here because I received a letter.
You also received the letter. I received the letter. I thought I was special.
Unfortunately, you are not. And he holds up the letter.
Well, that's my...
As he says that, I want to cast Prestidigitation and make a foul odor come from... Who was the one that was talking and said that you're not special? Was that the Goliath?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay. I want to make a... I want to cast Prestidigitation and make a foul odor come from his letter. And I'm going to come behind him with my letter and say, oh, it smells like... You must have gotten yours from the garbage. You must not really belong here, because... Mine smells brand new. Who wrote yours?
If I knew that, I would not be standing here talking to you. And he kind of smells it, and he doesn't flinch. I've smelled it far worse.
I immediately start laughing and just say, well, he is a Goliath. He might have mistaked it for toilet paper.
You could be next.
You must have COVID.
That cut me deep.
oh lord, throwing shots already. Well, the gnome shrugs and turns right around and starts walking. And the rest fall in line and begin to follow.
Yeah, I follow.
I follow.
I'm going to also follow.
I will also follow, but I will be shoulder to shoulder to the gnome if I can be.
I'm following, but I'm behind everybody else.
So the gnome kind of just like looks his left and sees Jata just strolling along with him and kind of just like looks at him like, hold on, like, listen, you don't need to be so close, my friend. You don't need to be so close.
Is there a problem? Are you not the friendly sort?
I mean, that doesn't really matter, but you're in my personal bubble, you know? Could you move a little bit?
I actually can, and you'll see him take a step forward and start walking backwards and saying, where are we headed to exactly?
You're one of those, huh? Just one of those. Anyway, I want you to make a dexterity save, Jata.
Oh my god, not one. Natural fail.
Yep, it's ridiculous. I got a normal 5 on the modifier, but not one.
So, Jata, it's up to you how you want to describe this epic fail.
Okay, bet.
Walking backwards.
So as I'm walking backwards and I'm saying, where are we headed exactly? I pull out my drum from my side and I get ready to hit it. And I actually miss it entirely, slap myself on the knee, and then roll forward and end up behind the guy we're following again.
So you hear a little snicker from the gnome as you fall back into line, and he just shakes his head and kind of quickens his pace so he can try to create distance. But at the end of the day, this creature is like 1.5 like feet tall, you know, maybe 1.75 feet tall. So as far ahead as his little stubby legs can take him, that's as much distance as he's able to create.
I'm gonna pick him up from his fall and tell him and pat him on the back and say,
before he picks him up, I'm a step over. Keep walking.
So yeah, he's just gonna keep walking. I'm gonna pick him up and give him a pat. Little dust comes off and tell him, up, soldier, and continue going.
I think I figured out where we're going, so I'm just gonna fade off and meet you guys there. Is that okay if I roll for that?
Yeah, roll stealth. While that's going on, we're gonna go back to Silas, who's still pondering about his letter, and we're gonna find out whether he's come to a decision.
I've studied the party from a distance to ascertain if you're worth my time, and I've decided that I will join the adventure.
So plot twist, y'all, Silas was already in town. Look, he was just chilling, just waiting, because he got magically teleported ages ago. But the audience, unfortunately, the audience knows that. The party members don't really know that because they haven't met him. But after... Well, first of all, Lattice disappears from y'all sights. But everybody else, just roll perception for me.
10? What the fuck?
We got another nat 20.
By the same person. All right, kids out here.
Your ass ain't getting away from me. I see everything, bitch.
So.
I also see.
So, Lattice, look. The only person who noticed that Lattice disappeared, slipped away, was Kif and Silas. However, everybody else except Ashgaja and Zoriba noticed that they had a new member following them, which is Silas. So y'all notice Silas, except two of you, and only Kif notices that. Kif and Silas only notice that Latus disappeared.
Silas is a half. Silas, you're a half elf, right?
I don't notice nothing with a 19.
Half human, half elf.
No, because... Oh, wait, you rolled a 19. Where's Jata's number? Oh, Jata, you notice Silas. But you don't see... Oh, if it meets, it beats. That's the rule I go by, if it meets, it beats. So you do notice that Lattice disappeared, too.
So, but we noticed that there's a half-elf just walking with us now, right?
So, Kith isn't gonna, like, acknowledge...
Not Chusery, but you don't notice.
Kith isn't gonna acknowledge Silas, and he's gonna note that, was it Lattice disappeared? But he's not gonna, like, you know, make any outward notice that he did.
Silas is going to walk with the party, but he's choosing to walk at a slight distance until he feels comfortable getting closer to him.
Askaja is still in the back of the line.
Zoriba is just walking next to him. We're hardly talking because he kind of frightens me, but yeah.
Bet that. So you guys continue on your way, and the gnome leads you to the center of town. At the center of the town is the town hall that you previously saw. And he stops in front of the front door, turns, and scuttles his way to the side and tells you guys to enter. Now, for our taller members, you're going to kind of have to duck down to get through the doorway, especially our Goliath friend. But once you do, when you enter, you'll all realize that this place is a lot bigger than what it looks like from the outside. So as you guys enter, you see that it's just like an empty room. It smells kind of earthy too. It seems weird because you thought you entered a town hall, but for there to just be one giant room that smelled earthy, as you look around, you notice that it low-key looks like you're in a polished cave. But the door behind you is closed, so ain't nothing y'all can do about it. And in the center of the room is the most beautiful, beautiful woman that you've ever seen. With long black hair, dark chocolate skin, eyes that just seem to shine bright. Looking elegant with a dress that just hugs her curves. Just, you know, it's very flowing. It's very long. It trails around her and touches the floor. And she's just standing there with her hands on her stomach. And she smiles.
Is she human looking?
She is humanoid. She's not exactly a human. She's something else, but you guys, none of you can really put your finger on what she is. She seems kind of ethereal, you know? It's as if when you look at her closely, you kind of have to squint your eyes to try to bring her into focus. But that is what is presented before you.
So
go on.
As Jata kind of enters, he kind of like smacks his fingers a little bit on this drum, kind of making a steady little drum roll. And he's going to say, "Well, I am here. We are here. They have letters, nothing to fear. Nothing really important going on, it seems. But hold up, wait, guys, everybody. Wait, where are we going? I'm going to get a drink."
Okay, and Kith goes, "After such a fine introduction, are you the one who summoned us here?"
I'm going to put my hand on my sword because I am very not trusting of this situation. My PTSD is getting the better of me.
I am disgusted, more disgusted by the lady than I was on the ship in C6, so I have nothing to say. And I continued on my journey.
Scotch is pretty silent, just looking, not talking for now.
First of all, is Lattice really disgusted at seeing a beautiful, beautiful woman? Like, I take offense to that.
Hey, don't judge him. He might, you know, might just not be interested in women.
I am disgusted with humans.
I didn't say she was a human.
He's only interested
in humanoid.
Ah, I thought you said she was human. I was like, nope, I'm disgusted and I do not care for those creatures.
Now, don't worry. If you said he was human, I was going to say it. If living with humans taught me one thing is you don't trust human women. So that's what I was saying. That's what I was worried about.
Us Dragonborns are very, very...
Why have we been brought here?
Her eyes kind of just linger between all of you. And her smile grows wider as she notices all of your distinct reactions. And look, I'm not doing that woman's voice again. I'm gonna work on that for y'all.
It's all good. It's all good.
Don't worry, we won't hold you to it.
We'll hire somebody on Cameo to do all her lines.
For real. I got someone in mind to do the lines for her, so I'm gonna definitely bring them in. And so she looks at each of you, and she just tilts her head to the side a little bit with a smile, and you can see that her teeth are clean. They're not exactly human-like, but they seem to be more sharp. Not exactly fangs, but not exactly filed teeth either, you know? Whether friend or foe, you can't really tell. And she opens her mouth and she says, "Why, yes, I definitely brought each and every one of you here, or more so, I requested each and every one of you. It's nice to see that you all said yes, albeit for your own individual reasons." Her eyes especially linger on the Goliath and on Silas too. Then she unclasps her hands from her stomach and spreads them out and says, "The world is in danger, and each of you are to play a role in either its salvation or its destruction. I told you that I could answer some of your needs, if not all, but I definitely need each and every one of you to do something for me first. Unfortunately for you all, you have already said yes, and there's no leaving. But I don't want you guys to get hostile. I am not your enemy. Consider me more of a friend or a patron, if that makes you more comfortable." And she stops talking.
Do we get a name? Do we
get no? You ain't get no name.
You don't get to know. We don't. You invite us here with knowing so much knowledge about all of us, and you don't give us anything other than the world is in danger. This world has seen many dangers before. Some of us here may have even fought in wars. So what makes this grave danger so special?
Well, my dear, don't you remember what I said? It'll make the Elder Hollow Hiberian War look like child's play. Something of just minor inconvenience. But for you, wasn't it so traumatic? So heart-wrenching? Did you not lose loved ones? Does that not seem important to you?
You kind of hit me there. I just kind of looked at this. I kind of take my hand off my sword and kind of just look down at the ground, getting flashbacks of
what is your role to play in the events to come?
Let's just say that I have my own interests. Ones that must be protected. And I see that you guys will definitely help not only in protecting them, but protecting everyone. Again, if you so choose.
If you are willing to help me recover what was taken from me, I will do as you ask. All I hope is that it is to benefit others and not to take away from those who have not.
And as that is said,
Jata walks up and he kind of rubs his hands together, and you see him kind of almost sprinkle, and you see a queen checker piece fall from his hand, and he hands it to her and says, "You have the appearance of a queen. Hopefully we're not making a deal with the Raven Queen of all, but I've only come to seek answers and gain knowledge. I hope that I can find the ones that I've lost as well, as many of them are human and some of them are not."
I go from looking at the ground to just kind of laughing a little bit and saying, "You seem like someone who holds a lot of knowledge, someone that can give us a path to adventure. Just for that, I am indeed interested."
"Latest is here for one thing and one thing only. So if it helps me get closer to that, then latest will help."
"I shall accompany you on this grand journey, but please be warned. If you deviate from my needs and concerns, I will remove myself."
So as each of you give your responses, she just begins to laugh lightly, her eyes gleaming at the mention of the Raven Queen. And she definitely starts laughing a bit louder upon hearing Silas's resolve. So she then turns around and makes a wave. She doesn't acknowledge your questioning, but as she turns, she waves her hand, and the cavern that you guys were in kind of disappears, and now you're in what looks to be an auditorium with you guys on the stage and her going to sit amongst the seats. As she takes her seat, she looks back to you all, and she puts her hand on her head on her hand, with her finger caressing her face. And she says, "While you guys have acknowledged my request, whether you're strong enough is still to be determined. How about a little test? There's an issue that is bothering the people at the port. You may have not noticed when you came in, but we have two ports, one on the other side of town, and that one is in disuse. Why don't you go deal with the situation there? And if you can, that will determine what we do next."
Zoriba just kind of growls and sighs, takes out his sword and rests it on his shoulders, and says, "I knew it was going to end like this. It always does."
And as that said, Jata says, "Well," scratching his beard, I'm not really the kind to take on a job without any understanding of what it entails. I'd much rather put my life on the line for things that seem, I don't know, let's say, lucrative, fun, adventurous, details. Maybe details. That's a good place to start."
She smiles at you as you continue on, and she says, "Well, the details? There's an issue. Is there monetary compensation? It determines on whether you're able to get it done. And it will definitely be adventurous. Why, my little bard, don't you trust me? You did say yes after all and come all this way after only receiving but a letter."
"As I said, there are certain things that are more important to me than others. I will take your quest, obviously, in search for my own needs."
"There we go.
Tell me where I need to go." "Yes, my sense of adventure. I like you, buddy.
Yeah, I like you too. Let's go see what we're dealing with.
We'll clearly have a drink or two together.
After we complete this, because I think with this group here, we definitely will.
If you keep your word, I will solve your problem.
Let's be done with it.
So, is that a yes? Are we going?
Fine.
It sounds like everybody's on board.
I go.
Okay.
So she smiles, leans forward, and she snaps her fingers. You all are transported elsewhere. When you guys, what you guys see in front of you now is a look of slight devastation. The port looks identical to the one you entered in, but it's clear that it's been heavily neglected. In fact, it's very cloudy in this specific area. Very, very cloudy. And it looks gloomy. You see the dock has missing boards. You see what looks like to be a little fishing boat that's run ashore. And if you take a closer look, y'all see that fishing boat is also like just half of what it should be. You see that weeds have grown up from the rocky shore, and you notice that it's eerily, eerily quiet. What will the party do?
Well, it doesn't seem like we can get a good drink here.
First, Kith is going to growl and goes, I do not like that woman. Sending me off with no answers. Fine. He looks at the rest of the group. We are now in this together. Until you prove otherwise, you are my battle hardened, and we will work as a group.
You know, it's really funny that you say battle hardened. I am that, yes. But we have to move to actually get into battle. So let's take a few steps forward and see where that takes us.
I take that back. All of you except him.
And then I also cast prestidigitation and make a fart sound come from him.
Once again, unfazed. You know what this man eats?
Latest puts the hood off. He says nothing, and he waits for everybody else to make a move.
Well, Kith's just going to start walking in the direction of where it looks like the disaster's coming from.
Zoriba likes his style. I like that Goliath. I'm going to go follow him.
Gaja also follows.
I forgot we even had a look.
I'm definitely Silas following as well.
Silas is already moving towards the dock and the boat to inspect things and see what it is he can salvage or what he can take.
Nice. So as you guys are doing that, well, for you, Silas, make an investigation check since you are actively looking around and trying to find some stuff. Okay. So as you're looking around, Silas, and everybody kind of just follows you forward, you notice a couple of gold coins here and there. Whether you pick them up or not, they total to about 5 gold pieces that are just scattered about. You also notice that there is bones of various sizes. Some definitely look human. Others are definitely from sea life. And then there are a few that just seem to be neither human or sea life, but definitely should not be there. For example, you may see the fingers. You see what looks to be a foot. You see what looks to have been the wing of a very average-sized looking human. And you can tell that, look, whatever's happened here for Silas, whatever's happened here, it has not been good. People have died. Animals have died. What will you do with that information?
You, big one, be prepared just in case. Funny one. Wait, what's, I don't know Tail's name.
Yata.
Yes, I am the funny one. I know that's what you're speaking of me, correct?
But I meant to say your name and it slipped me.
It's Jata. You can address me as such.
You, funny one. I know you like creating things. Can you create me a replica of one of these bones? Because he can do that with the prestidigitation.
Prestidigitation, yes. So Jata picks up one of the bones and he kind of inspects it and says, ah, such a filthy thing. And he throws it. And you see him kind of twirl his fingers and a bone temporarily is created from it. It says, oh, here you go. It'll last about an hour.
Okay. That's all I need.
Well, since he didn't say anything about the gold coins, Latest quickly grabs the 5 gold coins.
I already have those, Simpleton. You can't even see them.
Latest uses sleight of hand and takes the 5 coins.
All right. Well, roll sleight of hand.
Yo, wild. Okay.
On your own team. This is mad.
And meanwhile, for you, Silas, you can roll insight.
I'm gonna scratch my head and whisper to the orc fellow. Did you notice the
laugh? I got finessed.
Sorry, say again.
Damn, you stole it in broad daylight.
Hey. So for the audience, our Dragonborn rogue has just stolen the 5 gold pieces from Silas without Silas really noticing.
I don't know what Elfish is for bet that, but Silas
Silas, you have no idea you just got robbed. As far as you know, you still got those gold coins and you just looking at them like you can try something.
Latest is really a good dragon, so Latest leaves 1 coin for his trouble.
Damn, that's worse! Like, I got 5 coins in my pocket, 5 ones.
Ellis, what were you saying before? I missed
I was saying to the orc, did you notice the half-elf? How long has the half-elf been here?
Oh, yeah, because you guys didn't notice him when he first got here.
I'm just kind of scratching my head at the whole scene, thinking, when did this happen?
Skaja shrugs.
While it seems that I may be the funny one, I may only be the only one that pays attention. This is odd here. I've never been that one in the party.
Anyway, so as that happens, I need everyone to make... a wisdom saving throw.
What's that?
Kyle's just dead, bro.
Exclamation S space WIS.
Yeah, no. Dirt that 20. What the hell?
Yo, that verification Twitter is actually.
I don't make the rules, I just play the game.
Avery loves Kith right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Kith has rolled his third nat 20 of the night. Look.
It's because you're stealing from me.
Okay, sure. Thanks for the donations, bro.
That's why I took his gold coins, because everybody.
It wasn't mine. I ain't crazy.
If I shit back. God damn.
So, hold on. All right, cool. So, everyone is cool except for you, Lattice. Lattice, after you decide to do your little thievery, you then just look out to the waters and you begin making your way slowly. Just walking past the rest of the group and not even sidestepping the bones. So, everyone hears you just crunching and breaking bones as you walk. What is everybody about to do?
I will actually tell everyone to stand still and let's listen. But what I will do is I will rub my fingers on my drum and says, danger, danger, I hear you coming. And I will give a Lattice Bardic Inspiration. So that means you get a D6 to one of your save checks or damage rolls.
Damn, he knew you needed that. That's so nice.
Lattice takes the gold coin from GP and gives it to Jada.
No, you do not, because you are focused on the water and you just keep walking. For you, Lattice, nobody else exists at the moment. You just know that you must go ahead to the waters.
This is
evil. So, as a result, I need. Oh yeah, for sure.
Can I do I cannot say that word. Prestidigitation.
Mm-hmm.
To create myself earplugs.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, how do I have to roll for that?
No, just
okay. I use the I use Prestigo to make myself some earplugs.
There we go. You can do it with some flair if you want to, you know, we have a bard who likes to do stuff with his drum. If you want to wave your hand and just automatically earplugs show up, it's up to you.
Oh, okay. I have an arcane thing, but I forgot what it was. Oh, I think I have a crystal. So I rub my crystal and then give it a little bit one of these like sage and boom, earplugs.
So as
my man brought the sage, I'm sorry, I'm just excited about it.
So as you do that, I need everyone, and including you, Lattice, but you do it at disadvantage. I need you to roll initiative.
Damn. Okay.
You know what I'm gonna ask? How do you do that?
And ask
I saw that on the 20.
How'd I get a 6?
Did you roll another 20?
No, not me.
Oh, gotcha, okay. Oh, whoa. You lucky this is an initiative check, kid.
Thank God.
that was a bad roll for everyone except for Ascarjo. I swear to God.
Look, everybody, Kiffin had 3 nat 20s, and then he wrote a nat 1.
That's just the universe balancing itself.
Yeah, it's starting to balance out. However, it's not a check. It's just initiative, so it doesn't hurt him as badly.
It's all good.
Yeah, but otherwise it would have been like, look, dog. You would have been in trouble.
In a pickle.
So, as Gaj, for in terms of the party, as Gaja, you are first. Jata, you are second. Lattice, you are third. Zariba, you are fourth. Silas, you are fifth. And our lovely Goliath, who rolled 3 nat 20s, is last. You guys excited for your first encounter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I've been waiting for. Boy.
I'm about to do a whole lot of nothing.
So let me see how many nat 20, how many, my fault, not nat 20s, how many d20s I need to roll here. 1, 2. Oh, all my dice. Where's my blood curse dice? That one needs to be rolled right now.
I don't like that at all.
Because that's my good luck dice. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let me roll these dice. Okay. So, Ashgaja, just so you know, you are definitely first regardless.
I know. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
But what am I seeing? Or what am I... What is it exactly that we've just encountered?
Four enemies will go before the rest of the party. Good luck to y'all. Like I said, I'm a benevolent god, but I'm also a petty god. I didn't like the way Zariba talked to my gnome. And I didn't like that sass that GB gave to the lady. Nor the sass that Lattice gave to the lady, too. Call her. You looked in disgust. All right, bet you about to pay for that. Say less. Say less.
Y'all playing a dangerous game here, bro.
Why are you like the most like well trained Goliath in the world?
I don't get that. That's to his history. You would have to know his history, which you don't know yet. So,
yep. This man think he Beast from X-Men.
I honestly hate humans in general. With
everything. Oh no, that's perfectly fine. Absolutely. Yeah, you can.
Just don't say it out loud.
No, no, you can say it out loud. It's just, you know, depending on my moods, I might address it in some way. You know, we'll see what happens.
He said, don't knock if you ain't buck.
By the way, Kif, you are dead last regardless.
That's terrible. But, yep, great. Sorry, y'all.
So, ladies and gentlemen, except for Lattice, because Lattice is kind of just, you know, he's still walking towards the water. The rest of you look out to see what Lattice is doing. And you notice that there are creatures coming out of the water. You see two humanoid turtles that are kind of big. I would say they're about 5 feet. Well, no, they're about 4 feet high, but they're at least about 5 to 6 feet wide, just on all four legs. And you also see four kind of feminine aquatic creatures come out, basically. Mermaids, but not your Disney kind. So, oh,
no, they're about to snatch your soul and not the good way.
Ooh. Asgasha.
They got fish heads and human legs.
Asgasha, you are first. Tell us what you're about to do.
How far away am I with them? Or actually, is Lattice like all the way in the front going towards
Lattice?
Them?
Yeah, so at the moment, you guys, everybody is near each other except Lattice is at this point 20 feet in front of you, but he still has another 40 feet to go before he can reach the shoreline and reach the creatures that are coming up out of the water. So it still has some distance, but he is making his way there slowly but surely.
Do I see him like just following endlessly, like not zoned out?
Yeah, he's zoned out. He's focused on walking towards these creatures.
He's a Lattice is the dragon, one of the dragonborns, right?
Yep.
Well, okay. So first, I'm gonna use the 20 feet, or actually 15, or yeah, like 20 feet, head behind him, smack his back of his head, hoping he snaps out of it.
He doesn't.
Oh no.
All right, use the remaining 10 feet. Go ahead. My bonus action. Let's go rage.
We got our first rage of the stream, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, our, yeah.
We that rage have is, that. Is important.
Yeah, rage, we should get some music on, man.
You know what?
That's my bonus action. I still have my action. So since they're still 40 feet ahead of them, correct?
Yes.
I'm going to use my dash. Go use the remaining. It should be 40 more feet in front of them. The rest of the 40 feet in front of them.
Yeah, if you cover the full 40 feet, you will be right in front of them.
I can't attack either way because I used my action.
So you're just going to put yourself in harm's way, sir?
I mean, I was thinking like maybe I should have just gotten in front of them, go rage, so that way I have a whole intimidation scream out there in front of them. Have like a whole like going around like, ah!
Okay, okay. And while you guys are doing that, I am going to play some background music.
Yes.
Guess I better turn my headphones on the Discord side.
Oh no, it's not going to be from the Discord side. It's going to come from
I thought you were going to play Kingdom Hearts.
Okay,
that was me playing Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, I was going to say it's not like the Kingdom Hearts. I was about to say, what? Hold up, we're about to fight some Heartless for real.
I was playing Kingdom Hearts boss battle music, man.
Can you guys hear it up?
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, as Garza, you made your move. Unfortunately for you, my dear friend, it is now time for one of the enemies to attack. So, one of the mermaids, she sees you. And she lets out a screech. And as she does so, first of all, let me roll her attack to see what happens. What is your armor class, by the way?
14.
So she's going to swing out at you with her claws, with her right arm, and try to scratch at you, but man, she misses by like a couple inches, right?
Ascaja chapped his chest. Ah, nothing.
And as you do that, with her left hand, she brings her club and cracks you upside the head.
You nuts, but we're not about.
Where my D4 is at? I forgot that my D4 is ready. You're going to take 2 damage.
Got you. That's half the damage, right?
Yeah, attack because you are raging. Yes, so yep. You're okay. Taking 1 damage.
Oh, 1. Now, okay. I thought you rolled a 4 and I got 2. I take 2. But okay, yeah, cool.
No, yeah. So you're taking 1 damage since you're raging. Because it's bludgeoning damage. And then, Jata, it is your go.
All right, but so how close are the enemies, the mermaids you said? How close are they together?
So the enemies, the mermaids and the turtle, the 2 turtles are 5 feet apart from each other.
And how close is Ascaja?
Ascaja is in front of the, so think of the order as this, from left to right, you see a harpy, turtle, harpy, harpy, turtle, harpy. Ascaja is right in front of the second harpy. And right. To his right is another harpy, and to his left is a turtle.
So I can hit 4 of them within like a radius, like a 10-foot radius?
Yes. What is your distance on your spell?
Because it's a 60-foot, 10-foot radius.
Okay, you said 60-foot. I had him at 20 feet in front of you. Yup. So you get to hit, yeah.
All right. So you will see... you will see Jata swing his drum around the side and he'll smack it and he'll say, when I hit my drum, nothing else matters. But the second time he hits it again and watch the ground shatter, and I cast shatter on the creatures. It's a 10-foot radius and they have to make a constitution saving throw. It's a 14.
Do I need a roll 2 con save?
No, I missed you.
Cool.
On purpose.
I mean, I have an advantage from that too, so it's okay either way.
Oh, you need a con save, right? Yes. Okay. And what is the save? You said 14?
Yes, sir. It's 14.
2 of them save, the other 2 do not. So in that case, are you telling me that you hit the first turtle, the 2 harpies, and a second turtle, those 4 in the middle?
Everyone who didn't save takes 18 points of damage. Everyone else takes half.
Oh, you're doing heavy damage. All right, bet. Now, and will that end your turn?
Yes, that I will walk 20 feet or take 20 feet forward, and then I'll stay there.
Okay. So now you are next. Well, you're at this a few steps behind Lattice, but you are now 40 feet close. You are now, there's a now 40 foot difference between you and the creatures. Your damage does some stuff. You see the 4 creatures that you hit, 2 of them being the turtles and 2 of them being the middle harpies. They kind of just like let out a screeching yell of pain. And from the harpies, you see a little bit of blood start to trickle from their ears. And they are not happy. They are not happy at all. So,
also, Lattice, remember, I'm going to say, you got bardic inspiration, Lattice. Just remember.
Keep that in mind, Lattice. You're going to need it.
Ah, what?
So,
inspiration.
So, you get to roll a 1d6 when you need to make another roll, and you can add it onto that score. So, he basically gave you a boost. All right. So, it is time for the turtle to make its move. Oh, mind you, these turtles, they're on their four legs, but on their back is a quarter staff, too. So, you guys see that, and you're just like, what the hell does a turtle have a quarter staff for on
his back? You got ninja turtles up in this book?
Bunch of Donatello's, mate.
Look. All right. So the turtle, both turtles were affected by shatter. So as they yell, one of them just kind of confused and noticing that everyone else is still too far away, just reaches out its right leg with claws and scratches at Esgasha. And you will take damage, my friend. You will be taking damage. And as a result, where's that blasted blood dice? There we go. My blood curse.
He cast something?
Oh, he attacked you.
Oh, okay.
And he definitely, he rolled a 20. Not a nat 20. A dirty 20.
Dirty 20, okay.
So that is plus. So you take 2 points of damage. I already took out the cool. half.
Cool.
So you take 2 points of damage.
Cool.
And then he will end his turn. The harpy to your right, Esgaja, will also make an attempt at you. And
since we are playing official role, they also got flanking. Just three, more than three. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Give you that.
Which is beneficial because if they did not, there would have been a crit fail on their part. So.
Mm.
It's unfortunate for you, my friend. The mermaid to your
right
swings at you with her claws and hits. You will now take 2 points of damage.
Okay.
The turtle next to the harpy, so two places to your, now that's 10 feet away from you, it's going to stand on its legs, and it pulls out a crossbow. It's going to kind of create some distance and move back into the water a little bit. So not only is it 10 feet to your from your right, but it's also now about another 15 feet back.
He was in front of me, or he was just...
No. In back of the enemies. Okay. So he kind of retreated back into the water. Mm-hmm. And he will shoot at you, but he misses. You know, as he... With the waves starting... The tide starting to come in, his footing wasn't so sure, so he fired a crossbow at you, and it just... It missed you by a good margin. It went wide left, like an NFL kicker trying to kick the game-winning field goal. Okay?
Okay.
So you're good to go. And Lattice, it is your turn. You can make a constitution saving, a wisdom save, if you rolled well. So Lattice, as you hear the cries of battle begin, you kind of snap out of it. You look around yourself and you see that you've covered the distance and you're now 20 feet behind Esgaja, but 20 feet in front of Jata.
Okay.
What are you planning to do?
So, Esgaja, is he in trouble now that the turtles are super mad now? Like,
He's been hit 3 times thus far.
Thus far? Okay. So I acrobatically get to Asgazia without making any noise, pretty much silently, and I stealth attack. My friend,
you're walking on sand. If you're nosy on sand, I don't know what to tell you.
Touche, but I mean, I'm already super stealthy. I'm throwing that in there just because.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, it's a surprise attack. I'm 20 yards or whatever in front of them. They can directly see me, so I want to go in sneaky. And I want to make sure that I get this orc, evil orc, help, since he did try to help me snap out of
Call this dude an evil orc? Dang. It's gonna be a fun campaign.
Remember, he's
Gasha will remember this.
Gasha doesn't like dragons either. Orcs don't like dragons either. You know, we pretty much hate it across the board.
You don't know what he likes or hates.
we hate it across the board from what I remember. But at the same time, he did try to snap me out of it. So he's gaining a little bit of trust from Latus. So Latus goes and does a dagger stealth.
Okay. So which one are you attacking? There is a harpy directly in front of him, a harpy to his right, and a turtle to his left, directly to his left.
I'm going to take the one to the left.
Okay. You get to roll at advantage since flanking rules. And that means you get to invoke your sneak attack. Extra damage.
Okay, good thing you have the advantage. Good thing you had the advantage. Good thing you had the advantage.
Oh, Steve!
You're still okay. That first one kind of saved you there.
No, wait,
they take you nowhere.
No, don't do this.
Ooh, that nat one thankfully will not apply. Okay. No.
I was hoping for a nat 20, but oh god.
Roll your sneak attack damage. I think at your level it should be a 2d6, I believe.
Okay.
All right. So you do 12 points of damage on top of your 4 points of damage. And you said you attacked the turtle to his left. Yeah. Okay. So you strike the turtle. And where did you stab it? Describe to me how you stabbed it.
So if I'm coming from the one on the left, I'm going to stab it in the back, in the right spleen area. Try to get an organ, get a vital organ.
Okay. And you successfully do that. And congratulations. Steve is the first one to kill an enemy.
Hey!
Let's go, Steve. Out here killing stuff.
But he did it. Good job.
Steve definitely rolling for fun. He ain't playing for real, but that's a good kill right there.
Because these rolls is terrible. Like, god damn, can I get, other than stealing this damn gold coins, I done rolled
literally
everything under five.
To sum up Steve, yeah, he's like an elephant in a tree. You don't know how it got there, but you know it's going to freeze.
So that being said, Zareba, it is now your turn.
Okay, question. How far am I away from the...
are 60 feet away.
How can I get close to this? So how can I get...
You can move 30 feet. And then hopefully... Do you have a ranged weapon? If you don't, then you can't even attack.
Okay, I do have a bow and arrow.
There we go.
Can I...
That's more than 60... You could shoot more than 60 feet if you wanted to with the bow.
Can I... anime style light the tip on fire, because I do have a breath weapon as well.
Ooh.
Oh, you want to use your breath weapon to
mind you can only use your breath weapon once per
short rest. I know. Yeah. only because I got a sick quirky line to go with it.
Hey, all right,
can I do that?
Yeah, roll for your breath. Well, you don't need to roll, we'll just say that you used it. You describe how you used it, but you don't need to roll for it.
Okay, I breathe the fire on the arrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna aim it. And
I don't think you can shoot it though, because breath is an action.
Yeah, so you're basically setting your bow and arrow up for your next turn.
Okay, I'm gonna wait. So yeah, I've set the tip on fire. And I'm waiting. And then my next turn, when I can fire it, I'm going to say something good. So no one killed a mermaid. I want the mermaid.
Oh, there's four mermaids.
Oh, there's four.
Yeah, there's four mermaids, and there were two turtle-like ninja turtles, but Steve killed one.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. I'm just gonna ready my firearm, my fire arrow then.
Bet. So, Silas, it is your turn.
Just so I have understanding, have I already moved 30 feet, and I'm 30 feet away from these enemies now?
No, you haven't moved. You're still 60 feet away. You can move now.
If I choose to move now, is that the end of my turn?
No.
So okay. Everybody has like walking speed of 30 feet. They could like move anywhere in within the 30 feet. If you want to move even more, it might cost you an action for dash. Gives you an extra 30 feet. The only thing is it costs you an action, which is pretty big when you need to attack or do a breath weapon or that. Any other thing that requires an action, like casting a spell too sometimes.
But, for the most part, I think your spells all your spells are ranged, so I think they should be within distance 40. Requirement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
guys, thank you for tuning in and for sitting through this long episode of our first Dungeons & Dragons campaign. Just shout out again to the representatives from the Inside the Mind of a Blurred podcast. From Mike Check Waifu, from Worst Gen Podcast, as well as Anime Lately, and our presence to be filled with a mangaka of Shades of Red. Unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties, the remainder of this session was not captured for audio. So just head over to Twitch and search for Anime Lately so you can watch the last 2 hours. It was quite a joy. We'll definitely have this fixed and ready for you next month when we drop. And thank you again.